Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mama Marketer podcast. I am your host, Olivia Hayes. It has been several months. I think I just counted like 4 or 5 months since my last podcast, so it has definitely been overdue. A sweet friend of mine that I was hanging out with a couple weeks ago was like, I really need you to make a new one. So Emily, thanks for the push, and here I am. So part of the reason that I haven't had very many is just that it is very hard scheduling guests to come and speak with me. Especially, I'm really big on guests that are just real authentic human beings. And guess what? Real authentic human beings are really busy. So today I don't have a guest, but I'm gonna go through just a couple of the topics that I've been sharing about and speaking about. They're mostly gonna be related to politics, and just they're ones that I've gone through on my social media, and I'm just gonna be able to go in a little bit more in depth with you. So diving in. First and foremost, the big announcement that went out over the weekend is that I am running for Kansas State Senate in District 30. So this is something that's been a long time coming. I've been approached several times in the past to run on behalf of my party, and it was never quite the right time or quite the right race. And then, you know, mid to late last year, I was approached by some different groups in the area wanting me to run. And then we almost announced my team. I have a team behind me already, and they wanted me to announce like last October, November, and I was just not quite ready to go in full force at that moment. But at this point I am. So I have a website up where you can check and see if you are in my district. You can sign up to volunteer with me. You can sign up to, you can make donations right on that. So yeah, if you're in District 30, which is, you know, a big chunk of Mulvane, Hayesville, and then kind of up to kind of towards Kellogg in Wichita. So the maps have changed. So I met some folks at my announcement event over the weekend where, you know, 2024 would have been in my district, but come 25, they're actually not. So definitely use the map on my website to determine if you're in my district or not. If you are in my district, I want to speak with you. I want to come to your meetings, your clubs, your groups. I'm happy to meet with everybody and just really hear everybody out on what issues they are facing. One of the reasons I am running is just because we have had a kind of very conservative chokehold on the area for so long. And it's to the point where there's a lot of groups of people that just don't feel heard and don't feel recognized or seen at all, especially, you know, when it comes to making laws that affect their lives. And so I'm here to really elevate those voices. So yeah, definitely check out my website. It's oliviahayes.com. So OliviaHayes.com, oliviahayes.com, and read up about me. And like I said, check the map. Let me know if you're in my district, and I can take donations from anywhere, even if you're not in the district or in Kansas. And even if you're like just on the outskirts of the district, I'm going to be going to events and parades and doing door knocking and phone banking and text banking. So I can always use volunteers. So that's the big announcement there. It's been very well received. And like I said, I have a great team behind me. So the main platform planks that I am running on are small government, local control, personal freedoms, and non-aggression. So you're definitely going to hear me breaking down those four platform planks over the next 8 months. But if there's one of those in particular that you have questions about, let me know. And I'm happy to do some kind of post somewhere, just kind of going in depth a little bit more about those. The question I've already gotten is, we'll just go through a couple questions that I've already gotten. One of them is, you know, what do I mean by non-aggression? So those of my listeners that are familiar with the Libertarian Party, the non-aggression principle is big to us. It's something that a lot of us know about. And basically that is the belief that we own our bodies and we own our properties, and we're not going to aggress against anybody else and violate their body or their property, right? So that's very big to the Libertarian Party. Other people in other parties might not know about it. So what I mean by that, of course, on the global scale, non-aggression means like the Libertarian Party is not pro-war. We don't believe in aggressing and going into these other countries and you know, being involved in these conflicts. But what that means locally, there are a lot of examples of times when local government is actually aggressing against people. So, for instance, in Derby, we just had a case with Eminent Domain, where the city, as far as I know, is actually still trying to take some land and shut down some local businesses because they want to make some improvements to the highway that runs through there. So that's the type of thing I'm talking about, where there are times where local government is actually aggressing against its citizens. And that is not something that I believe in. So, you know, people keep telling me, oh, the city is still trying to negotiate with these business owners. Well, any negotiation that comes after the point where they filed for eminent domain is coming under threat of force. And I don't think it's fair. I don't want to negotiate under threat of force. And I just don't think that's fair. So these are the little, you know, examples of aggressive things that I plan to speak out against, and have already spoken out against this. You know, I wrote to the mayor and the development director. I wrote to the newspaper. I've already spoken to, been outspoken in regards to this eminent domain issue. And there are other issues that I'm sure will come up. The other question I got just last night was someone asking me, you know, what's the first thing that you would do, which is a good question. You know, one of the first things that I would do if I was a state senator is really make sure that we are repealing any laws that happen to come out of this current session, which we're going to talk about a few bills that I've got my eye on, but any bills that end up becoming law that are, you know, taking rights away from women or taking rights away from LGBTQ, whether that be adults or youth, we are targeting these groups of people and these rights, and I don't think that's appropriate. So that would be one of the first things that I do, is hopefully, you know, best case, none of these bills make it through, but any of these bills that are crossing that line, that would be one of the first things I would plan to undo if I am a senator in 2025. So, okay, so that's my big campaign announcement. Check out my website. Let me know if you are in my district, or like I said, you can go ahead and make donations at oliviahayes.com. Okay, so let's take a look. I'm just going to kind of keep going down my list of like I said, issues in the political realm that I've been working on lately. Okay, so let's spend a little bit of time talking about SB 509. So SB 509, there's a lot of history to this. So basically, it is a tax credit. So let me just give you some background on this bill. A couple of years ago, I had basically shopped around an idea. This was around the time when, you know, two sessions ago, when they were really pushing the ESAs and they were really pushing school choice. And, you know, I had shopped around to a couple of different lobbying groups. I had shopped around to the homeschool groups, even spoken with different leaders at the time, political leaders. And I had told them, you know, there's a better way. Basically, Topeka's consistently trying to tell homeschoolers what we need instead of asking us first, right? And then there's also a whole faction of homeschoolers that don't want any help from the government, right? So it's a precarious situation. But I shopped around a bill that basically is this bill that has made it out, SB 509. So the main tenets to this bill are that it is a partial tax credit. So for instance, I am paying taxes to a school district. I'm paying taxes for a service that I don't use. So ideally, I would like a little bit of that back, right? So one of my big speaking points with this bill was that it not be a full tax credit. I don't want to leave the public schools in a bad place. It's the one that's being talked about now is a 50 to 75% rebate on what I pay to the school. So it's not a full tax credit. I think that's reasonable. And the other big talking point that I had was that we have to make this optional. This has to be something that some people can opt into if they feel like they need it, and something that other people, if they're not comfortable with it, don't have to take advantage of it, right? And those were kind of my two big parts to it. And I remember talking to a state legislator about, you know, the ESA program that they were really trying to push, the Republicans were really trying to push two years ago. And, you know, I had asked, well, let's say we get these ESAs up and running, and even like the KEEP program, and there's a couple different programs that will help you with certain parts of your education costs, right? But I asked them, if we go with that program, you know, someone's going to have to develop. I come from marketing, so I understand, you know, the basics of what it means to make a website and e-commerce and all that. So I had pointed out to this legislator, you know, who is going to be paying for the development of the program where we are going to have to create these accounts, manage our spending, make our purchases through? Who's going to be doing that? And of course, the answer was that it was going to be on the tax dollars, on taxpayers. It's going to be done with your tax money. So in order to get to that little tax break, or that service, that, you know, education spending account, it was first going to end up costing taxpayers more money. And so another big talking point that I had about a tax credit program was that all it simply needs to be is a new tax code, and it works within the existing tax system. It's not costing anybody, you know, anything to build out a new website or a new portal or anything like that. So all of these tenets that I was talking about have made it into a bill, SB 509. And it's actually being presented by Renee Erickson, the incumbent who I am challenging for Senate. So it's kind of bittersweet. I am happy to say when something is good, even if it was my idea that I didn't actually get to see fully through to fruition. So I definitely learned some things there about, you know, shopping around your ideas to the right people. I've learned. But at the end of the day, I am just glad that this is out there as an option. Now, we are still seeing homeschoolers who are fighting this. We're still seeing homeschoolers saying that it's coming with strings, this, that, and the other. And that's simply not true. This isn't the government handing us anything. This isn't the government regulating anything. You already in the state of Kansas register your house as a homeschool. So all it's doing is checking that if you are claiming an education tax credit, it's just checking that you legitimately have registered your house as a homeschool. So there's no deep dive there. And it is optional. If you don't want to take it, if you, you know, are nervous about it or don't need the money, then by all means, you don't have to do it. But I do think it's a really good compromise. And I'm happy that it was brought forward. I just want to say that, you know, last year for our curriculum, and it's not like we're using some crazy curriculum, right? We're using a accredited Christian curriculum. It's a curriculum that some public schools use. But for my two boys', you know, curriculum for the year. So, you know, a 12th grade curriculum and a 4th grade curriculum, it cost my family $800. And this is not curriculum that I would have been able to buy through Keep. It's not curriculum that I would have been able to buy with an ESA. It's not something that a voucher would have helped me with. So, and I think that there's a big group of us that fall into that where, you know, we're not asking for you to completely cover it. We are okay. We're okay with the way things are, but if there was a little bit of help that we could get back, like I said, for a service that we're not using, I really do think it's a reasonable compromise. So if you want to look into that, it is SB 509. You can go to, if you're not aware, you can go to kansaslegislature.org. So KSLEGISLATURE.org. And you can go to, there's a tab that's bills and laws, and you can put in the name of the bill or the law, and it will give you the history of it. You can click and see a PDF of it, and you can see where that bill is in the process, right? So where we're at with this one is that it did have a hearing a couple weeks ago, and it looks like they've made a little amendment to it, but it looks like they're gonna suggest that it go on, that it be passed out of the Senate. So it will hopefully hasn't been assigned to a committee or gotten a hearing on the House side yet. But for this to get through, we've got a few weeks left of session, and for this to get through, it would need to go on to the House side of it to get passed. Okay, so now, kind of the next thing I want to share about before we look at more bills, I have finally finished reading this book that many libertarians have told me to read in the past. It's called Faith Seeking Freedom, and it's Libertarian Christian Answers to Tough Questions. And I finally finished it. It's really not a long, hard read, you guys. I'm holding it in my hand. It's about the size of my book. Let's see, it's only 100, 125 pages or so. You can get it on Amazon. And I really enjoyed reading this book, and, you know, some of my favorite parts about this book, and I've got it here in front of me, but basically what it does is it takes libertarianism and it shows you how well it lines up with Christianity, right? And really, I mean, at the end of the book, at the end of the day, this might be hard for some of you guys to hear, but there is no other political party, in my opinion, that better aligns with Christianity. If you know the Bible and you know what we stand for, I mean, libertarianism and Christianity go hand in hand. We've always been told as Christians to have a healthy suspicion of government, right? Like, let's not forget at the end of the day, who hung Jesus? It was the government, right? So it talks about, you know, having a peaceful way forward. It even talks about like how to have discourse with people. One of the, you know, I underlined and highlighted so many parts of this book, but one of the parts that I really like was a quick takeaway was that, you know, we have to remember that we're working with, our fight is not with each other as people. Our fight is really just with ideas. And when we're having these disagreements, even if we disagree, you know, politically or whatever, you know, we're at the end of the day, we're dealing with minds that can be changed, right? So yeah, and the book covers some big topics, right? So they're gonna, the topics they cover in the book is they go over libertarian basics, they go over the, you know, government, they talk about capitalism, they talk about, you know, what about roads, what about nationalism, what about immigration, what about abortion? So it goes through all of these major topics, and they also have a podcast. So if after you read the book, you know, maybe that one burning question you have, you still want to know more about it on their podcast, they go through more topics. And I believe it's by the same name. The podcast is Faith Seeking Freedom. So I am so glad that I read this. I definitely, if you are a libertarian, if you are Christian, if you have not married the two in your mind yet, I really suggest that you read this book, because there's a lot of good takeaways. I'll tell you that I had been loving the book so much, and then kind of the last couple of chapters that it's available in the book are immigration and abortion. And so I was a little nervous that, you know, I've been agreeing with everything that they've been saying and this book has been so good. I was nervous when I came to those two chapters that they were maybe going to say something different, because, you know, abortion has long been a topic that libertarians haven't fully agreed on. And lately it seems like I'm seeing a lot of libertarians that are, you know, very anti-immigration. And so I was nervous. I actually, you know, put my book to the side for a couple of weeks because I was nervous to read those. But I was pleasantly surprised with the way that they align the correct, you know, viewpoints on those two big topics in a way that is biblically sound and politically lines up with libertarianism. So can't say enough about it. The next book I'm reading, and apparently some folks have read this, it's just a little book that caught my eye at the bookstore last time I was there. It's called On Tyranny, 20 Lessons from the 20th Century by Timothy Snyder. I don't know if it comes from a libertarian perspective or not. I don't think I've ever read anything from this writer before, but very excited. And I'm only maybe a chapter in, and it's just talking about talking about how, you know, we think that tyrannical governments are a thing of the past, and that's just couldn't be further from the truth, and just kind of how sneaky it is these days. So I'm excited to read that one, and we'll definitely let you guys know when I get to the end of that one, kind of my takeaways on that. Okay, so the next bill I want to chat with you guys about is HB 2749. So this one is pretty gross, you guys. This one is requiring that medical care facilities and providers take down the reasons for each abortion that is performed. So when you look at the text of it, it's something like 11 different questions that they are saying that a doctor or an abortion clinic has to ask the woman, you know, on basically on their intake form, asking them, you know, why they're getting an abortion. And here's the thing about this is that there's a report that goes out at the end of every year that talks about abortions, and they're already gathering things like, you know, how far along are you? How many have you had? I mean, there's a whole report that goes out at the end of the month. So there's already some questions in my mind that are already crossing the line, but pretty standard, right? And this is just a complete overstep. And, you know, they say, so this was introduced, you know, early March, and it actually did get a hearing Let's see, when was that hearing? I don't remember where the hearing actually was. But long story short, it basically passed. It passed like 81 to 70. Let me see. I can actually get, 81 yes to 39 no. So 81 to 39, it passed out of the House and it has gone over to the Senate. So listen, you can go online. Like I said, go to kansaslegislature.org and type in SB 2749. You can actually see a list of the 81 people who think that women should have to justify their medical decisions. And I applaud the 39 that spoke up. It's just disgusting. It's just disgusting that in this day and age, and listen, I'm someone who has a doctor that doesn't really listen to me. I'm someone who has already had a difficult time with, you know, with just medical care in general, not talking about an abortion, but just medical care in general. You know, it's a proven fact that women, and especially women of color, are not always given the same treatment as white women and white men of color. And so it's, I just think a lot of people see this as just a little extra thing they want to put in there. I watched the hearing, and the representative that's really pushing this is really saying, you know, we're not listening to what the public wants, because someone pointed out that the public already voted that we were not in favor of abortion, right? And so she said, well, we're not doing that. All we're trying to do is just get reasons so that we can better understand, you know, why women are making this decision. And it's just such bullcrap. Because if you want to help women and you want to understand women that are in this position and are turning to an abortion, then you don't force them to tell you. You don't force them to answer 11 questions when they're at the most vulnerable time in their lives. You know, care about these women before they end up there. You treat the problem on the front end and not the back end. And it's just that their reasoning for doing it is just completely backwards, as we all have seen in the past. Okay, so as far as 2749, like I said, go to the Kansas Legislature website and put this in. It's been referred to the Committee on Public Health and Welfare. It has passed out of the Senate. It's passed out of the Senate. Or out of the House and into the Senate. And they're going to have a hearing on this tomorrow morning. So the podcast will probably just be coming out. But Tuesday, March 19th at 8:30 a.m., which is a suspiciously early time to be having a hearing for a topic this big. So, I mean, if it passes, like I said, it's already passed the House. It's going to have a hearing in the Senate tomorrow. They could vote. Technically speaking, I guess the governor would have a chance to veto this if she wanted to, if it ended up passing. But it's scarily close to being reality, you guys. So reach out to your current legislators, reach out to your current senators specifically, and let them know that you do not think that that women should have to answer to the government when it comes to their health care. Let them know that you expect that your health care is going to stay between you and your doctor, right? That you expect to remain in control of your body in that way, right? Because it's just a scary precedent to set. And like I said, the reasonings for doing it do not match up. So reach out to your senator. Like I said, you can go to the KansasLegislature.org website and find the Committee on Public Health and Welfare. You can get an email for the assistant that's helping run that committee. You can submit official testimony, letting them know how you feel. And I definitely encourage you to do that. On a similar note, so I saw that in Derby, actually, there, one of the churches has, you know, funded the opening of one of these pregnancy clinics, and it's going to be opening up like just right around the corner from my house. And I got to tell you guys, if you have not listened to my last podcast where my friend and I described our experience being in high school and walking into one of these pregnancy clinics, I mean, it was a truly, truly terrible experience. And maybe not all of them are run the same way, right? But they are just places of fear and shame and guilt, and they are just trying to push one solution onto you. They exist to push you away from getting an abortion, and they just, you know, of course they feel so noble about it, but it was a truly terrifying, awful experience. And like I said, if you really want to help women and young girls, that's not the way to do it. I'll never forget my experience years later going to the student clinic at KU was a much better experience, where it was like, here are your options if you decide to keep it, and here are your options if you decide not to. It was not this, like I said, shameful, heavy, scary place. So I don't know what I'm going to do as far as that goes. You're probably going to be seeing some kind of action being taken. Not that it will change their mind, especially if they've already got backing, but just letting people know, like, those might not be the places to go if you really are looking for support and for options, because I've experienced them and they're not what they claim to be. So, okay, let's take a look at our next topic here. I probably want to close out talking about cannabis. So let's take a look. Okay, so as you know, I've been working on trying to get some kind of medical cannabis program passed for a while. And truthfully, there's been groups that have been working on this for years. Kansas is one of the absolute, you know, last states to have it. And there's just been a lot of disappointing work that has gone into it. And I just want to be clear that, you know, my goal, obviously, as a libertarian, is that all substances be legal. Just like abortion, you're not going to legalize your way out of a problem, right? You're better off just having it all be legal and all be safe. And then eventually, in the free marketplace of ideas, people will eventually choose, you know, not that option, right? They'll choose a better, cleaner option. So ultimately, that's my goal, is that all substances are legal, but there's not a precedent where any state or country that I know of has gone straight to recreational, right? So we're seeing this as a stepping stone, right? But that being said, even getting a reasonable medical program has been challenging. And so let's see where we're at. Well, let's back up a couple weeks ago. I think it was end of February. I had been given a copy of a very bad bill. It was basically a one-year pilot program where they were only going to be allowing a very limited amount of diagnoses, a very limited amount of doctors, and a very limited amount of shops throughout the state. I think it was something like 4 shops for the entire state. And they expect that these shops not just be retail shops, but actually own the farm. So fully integrated farms, right? And, you know, for years, we have been told that the Kansas legislature, that Ty Masterson specifically, that his job, quote unquote, was going to be to stall this market a little bit so that his friends here locally, here in Wichita, could be the first ones to get to market, right? So when I spoke to different reporters about this, they told me, you know, the pilot bill, the verbiage in itself, you know, leaking that is not necessarily a story. But when you look at it with the bigger picture of, well, this is basically our worst dreams playing out in front of us, that not only was the market stalled for no good reason, but now the people that are not really true supporters or believers in it get to be the ones that basically own the market, right? It's basically a monopoly. They're creating a monopoly in the newest version of it. It's not just a year pilot. It's like 8 years or something. So there's just no way that anyone's ever going to be able to catch up, right? As far as other people that want to get into this market. And quite frankly, it sucks that they're trying to give us a pilot program. You know, we've got, you know, however many other states, 40-something states that have gone before us and have had medical and recreational programs for years. You don't need to run a pilot program with Kansans. You can get whatever data you're needing to help you build the program that you want. You can get it from Missouri or Oklahoma or whatever states you want to. So it's all just, it's a bad bill. I'm not going to lie. It's a bad bill. So what we've got in front of us now, it actually just received a bill number earlier today. Let's see. I'm literally getting emails in as it comes. So real time, SB 555. So yeah, this is this medical cannabis pilot program, right? Was just introduced this morning. And Yeah, I gotta tell you, just like with the homeschool bill, where there are, you know, some people that are for it and some people that aren't for it, even within the cannabis community, there are a lot of people that are saying we should not support this bill because it is so limiting. And I get it. I don't want to see any of it regulated, right? But the reality of the situation is, the advice that I was given at the very beginning of this session is that it's easier to change a bill than it is to invent a new bill, right? And we've seen that. It's taken us all these years just to get this far, right? So if we really want to say that we're for patients, I just can't see us fighting this bill. And even though the list of patients that could potentially benefit from this is very small, I mean, I'm just not willing to, I worry about fighting it. And then these patients for a whole nother year are not going to get help, right? So the type of patients that would benefit from this are like your really extreme cases with like your cancer and your MS and that type of thing. And so these are the people that are hurting the most. And I think it's crazy to say that you're advocating for patients and a medical program and then finally get a medical program and then not be willing to back it at all. So as far as I'm concerned on this bill, me personally, as I'm neutral to it, I don't, it's a bad bill. It's not the bill that we deserve, but it's the bill that we have. And I think that if we want to progress cannabis any further, then this is kind of what we need to take. And by all means, we document how bad it is. We tell them the parts that we don't think are going to work. But it's not, I can't get behind just completely not, I can't get behind passing it. Just like to the homeschoolers that want to fight the tax credit, I think it's unfair for them to take this away from other homeschoolers that might use it, right? And I think it's unfair for cannabis people who don't think that this bill is perfect to take it away from the few patients that would be able to benefit over it for a year. So I don't know, that's where we're at. Like I said, this SB 555 was just introduced this morning, so we've only got a few weeks for this to get through. So that means that, you know, the Senate is going to have to vote on this pretty quickly. So it's going to have to be assigned to a hearing. The Senate's going to have to vote on it, whether or not there's any amendments or changes, and then it's going to have to go to the other side. It's going to have to go to the House for the same process for any amendments that they want to see and a vote. Listen, I've gotten to the point where I'm not convinced it's going to happen this year. And let me just tell you, if we don't at least get some kind of reasonable medical program this year, then the gloves are off and we have no choice but to fight directly for a program that is just fully recreational, right? And I think we can find enough groups that would be willing to do that. So, okay, so a little bit shorter of an episode, obviously, than we're used to with a guest, right? But I think I've brought you up to speed on kind of like all the different political things that I've got, that I've been tracking, that I've been working on. So we've got the homeschool bill. We've got the abortion reasoning bill. That one, like I said, HB 2749, keep an eye on that. And then we finally have a medical cannabis bill, SB 555. So take a look at all of those. Really get to know the Kansas Legislature website. If you have something like a specific question about how to use that or how to look up a bill, please let me know. You can message me on Facebook or Instagram, or even just send me a message through my website and I can totally walk you through that. The only other plug I really want to make here is just that, you know, next month on 420, on April 20th, and yes, that was on purpose, next month, the Libertarian Party is having our annual state convention, and, you know, at this convention, I need to get, you know, fully endorsed as, you know, the Senate candidate, which I don't see any issues doing that, and I'm also wanting to get appointed as a delegate to go to our national convention in May. I went a couple years ago to the last national convention and would really like to be able to do that again. And I'm also going to be announcing that I would like to, I guess I'm announcing it now. I would like to take over as vice chair. Our vice chair, a good friend of mine, James, his term is up and is just going to be focusing on projects closer to home. And so I would love to be vice chair of the organization. So that's all going to happen in the business session. We're actually kicking off the day with a presidential breakfast. So the Libertarian Party has like 6-7 candidates right now all vying to get our official nomination at the convention in May at National. So we've got as many of them in as we can, and they're going to be participating in a forum. So I'm really excited to see them. It's such a shame that Kansas Libertarians were not allowed to participate in this stupid presidential primary that's happening tomorrow. It is literally such a waste of money, and it's so inappropriate for those of us that are independents and libertarians. Our tax dollars are going to run the business of the Republican and Democratic parties. And bonus, everybody's dropped out. So of the eligible candidates that are on the ballot, it's still coming down to Trump and Biden. I mean, it's just a damn shame. And I really wish that more counties would have fought back against the state to not have us participate in this. It's just such, it's completely inappropriate. Hopefully we can get rid of this bad bill that was passed last session so that next year we don't have to do it. But at the end of the day, I mean, the Libertarian Party could have really used some help. As far as if Kansas Libertarians were allowed to participate in a primary, we have 6-7 candidates. We could have really used, at least from our state, we could have used a primary, is what I'm saying. Like, our convention is our primary, but it just, we could have used a more official way of calculating kind of like a winner for our state, right? So I know who I'm pulling for, but I'm excited to see several of them because they're all just good, I believe, fairly good representations of the Libertarian Party. So you can come up to the breakfast, whether you're a registered Libertarian or not. It's $75 to attend that. If you are a registered Libertarian with a state, you can stick around for a full day of business. We're going to be voting on platforms and bylaws. It's going to be somewhat grueling, right? We're going to be having disagreements on how we want to run the party in the future, but it's important, right? And everybody's voice is valuable, and you can really come and help shape this local state party into being a party that you want to be a part of. So definitely come hear our candidates if you want. If you are a registered Libertarian, you can participate in business for free. We do ask that you pre-register, but you can do that on our website, lpks.org. Obviously, I'm going to be there. There'll be a little mixer Friday night, and then we'll stick around Sunday to have the newly formed XCOM Executive Committee. We'll meet Sunday morning. So I try really hard to make these weekends be equal parts fun and business. So hopefully you will join us for that. Again, message me if you have any questions about any of this. Please go to my website and make a donation to my campaign, oliviahayes.com. Or even just talk to your friends. If you take a look at the map and you have friends that are in my district that want to host something in their home or know an event or a meeting that they would like me at, I'm happy to do those rounds for the next few months. So, okay, guys, that's all I have for now. And I will see you hopefully not too much further in the future with another update. Bye.